Join me in 2 Kings chapter 7. I'd like to share God's word with you. Let's just ask for anointing and very special blessing upon the word. Father, I thank you. Lord, we commend your love to your people this day. Lord God, we ask that you, O Father, would just touch our hearts and our lives. God, we ask that there be no trite religious things. We pray that, God, our eyes would remove from man and we would look to you like we've never looked to you before. I think of Revelation, Lord, that cries, that those beasts around your throne cry, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And I'm asking that, Father, that this morning that there would be such an awesome display of your presence in our hearts. I pray that we would draw nearer to you. You know sovereignly why we are here. You brought us to this place. And I'm asking that you minister now. Thank you. We give you glory in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Have you had a good 4th of July? Good. I think I might need to go down just a little bit. I'm feeling like I'm stuck here just a little bit high up here, Mr. Sound Booth. Well, we've had, my wife and I, we've had several days of not too much happening. Isn't that an interesting thing that you can actually in this generation get several days where you don't have things happening? I'm sure what you're thinking is, well, you should have come and helped me, I'm sure. We just had a great time. We've seen some of Cameron's baseball. We got to watch some of that. And I got grandsons that play baseball, so that's fun. And Don and I, we've had great, I don't know how many hot dogs I've eaten in the last 4 days, but I've eaten my share. And baked beans, how many is into baked beans? Yeah, I'll be over later. And so we've just had a great time, and I pray that you have had the same. But I'd like to suggest this morning that this is serious business now, what we're going to do. So I pray that you will go with me. As James Chastain was distributing Gideon Bibles in a nursing home in New York City, he spotted an old man in a wheelchair, and the two struck out and struck a conversation, and James asked the man if he was certain of heaven. He says, "I would like to think I am, but honestly, sir, I don't know. I don't think I would go. I don't know because no one has ever told me how." And that day, James had the joy of leading this man to Christ. And afterward, he asked him how old he was. And the astonishing answer was that he was 100 years old. And he would be 101 in another month. Praise God for a man that Christ was able to somehow open his eyes at 100 and 101 years of age. I think sometimes that we need to recognize that God is doing a great work in this generation. Listen to this. Thessalonians, it says this. "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brothers, because by the Lord, it is the God of heaven. He has chosen you for his salvation." Isn't that right? 2 Thessalonians 2:13. And so this morning, I want to read just a short passage in Kings. It's Kings chapter 7. I'd like to begin reading in verse 1, and I will also go down to about verse 17 in a moment too, so stay with me. It says, "Then Elisha said, 'Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the word, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel.'" Let's just stop at that comma. Elisha is also in Samaria with many people. And the Israeli people, this was their kingdom, and this was their capital at this particular time, the northern kingdom. And it's interesting because outside of the city of Samaria, there was, not too far away, was a massive army of Syrians. Tens of thousands. And they had come and they had now taken and they had surrounded the city of Samaria. And they had, everyone in the city of Samaria of the Israelis were now in a problem. They were in famine. And daily, as day went by, day in and day out, they were losing ground and there was no food. They couldn't plant. There was no water. The abundance, the fields had been overtaken outside of the city walls. And now they were at a place that they were in famine. And the prophet Elisha, in chapter 7, verse 1, again, he says this, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." Isn't that amazing sometimes what can happen when we hear the word of the Lord? "Hear the word of the Lord. Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold." A measure in these days was about 7 quarts. And he says, "A measure of fine flour tomorrow will be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." And it's interesting because in verse 2, there's a man that enters the scene. It says this, "Then a lord of whose hand the king had leaned answered the man of God." So in other words, it's like one of the city officials. And he says, kind of with his finger pointing at the prophet, and he says, "Are you kidding me? You prophesy such a thing like this?" And what he says is he answered the man of God and he said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" Question mark. I would suggest you don't question Elisha. But he did. And he basically said, "Why are you saying this? All of us look around. There is no food. We're starving." In fact, if you read on in this passage, there was only like 2 or 3 horses, even in the stable of the king. Most of the animals had died. There was no food. The pantries were gone. And he points at the prophet and he says, "There is no way. How could this even happen?" He says, "If God would take and open the windows of heaven," literally, he says, "that's the only way." I love this passage. Because it says, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with your eyes." Now the prophet speaks back to him. And he tells him and he says, "Behold, if you see it, you will see it only with your eyes. But you will not eat thereof." Elisha challenged this man. And he says, "You will see with your eyes, but that's all." Do you realize what's omitted? He's not going to eat of this. He's not going to partake of this. He will only see it with his eyes. If you will allow me, I'd like to tell you this in love this morning. I think there's a lot of things. Maybe it's really similar to what Cameron spoke to us prophetically. But I think there's a lot of things that are in our personal lives this morning that we challenge God. We honestly do not believe that God has the power to do this. We don't think that God can. We don't think there's any way. We can go and pinpoint it in Scripture. We can tell someone else where we think it is. But when it comes to us, we struggle in this place. We really stand at the gates of the city. And when we hear the word of the Lord, we tell it, we challenge the word of the Lord and we say, "I don't think so. It's not for me and it cannot happen." I'd like to suggest this morning that when the word of the Lord comes, you need to believe it. And I'd like to tell you also that when God has pinpointed a need in your life or in my life, you need to accept the fact that God has the power to do it right there. And I say corporately to our church, this is not necessarily like the beginning of a new year, but I'm telling you something. God is still on the throne. And the things that are going on in this world today, they seem out of control and they seem beyond belief. And we are seeing things happening today that we don't understand what can happen tomorrow because of what took place today. But I'm telling you, when you stand at the gates of your city, at the gate of your personal life, and you hear the word of the Lord and God tells you, and God says that tomorrow about this time, I am going to open the windows of heaven for you. Amen. You need to believe it. You need to accept it. I'm not trying to say this in such a way, kind of like that I'm saying to you that you have to believe it in. I'm suggesting this morning that our God is a faithful God. And I'm suggesting that when you believe that He is who He said He was, there isn't anything that God cannot do. Outside of this city, as the king of Samaria, which was the king of the northern kingdoms, 10 of them of the tribes of Jacob, when they looked out over the balcony and they could look out far as they could, all they could see in the region was the Syrian army all the way around, surrounded the entire city of Samaria. It looks hopeless. It looks like it's not possible. It looks like it just cannot happen. Sometimes I think when we look at our children or we look at our home situation and we look at spiritual things, we look at things going on, we think it just cannot happen. God is greater than that button you've been trying to push. He is a God that is faithful this morning. So please, with me, just for these moments, do not let this word get by you. Verse 2, again. Then a lord or a magistrate whose hand the king leaned upon answered the man of God. My question is, what do you answer God this morning? And when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about the need or the area that you so desire for God to be involved in, and He's suggesting to you that the windows of heaven can open, what are you saying back to Him? It says this, it says, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? So this guy had it all worked out. He figured that no one is going to be able to bring food in. They're not going to bring a snack wagon. There is no big semis going to roll into Samaria. He figured it out. It's all over. You know what? We don't have any hope. We basically are going to stay in this city with walls, and we're going to die all from starvation unless we give up and we go as prisoners. I would like to suggest that God already has that worked out. Amen. And He already knows where we are, and He already understands what we need. And I go with you just a little further. Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And He said, behold. I think the word behold is a powerful word. It really is. I think what behold really means is it means stop and look up. It means stop and look ahead. It means stop and do you see now a sign that says road closure? Look up. Because that sign is coming down and God is going to now begin to have someone out there with a sign that says, slow, go forward. You can do it, believe me, because I am your God. Amen. You know, there's a clear lesson I think this morning that's learned in this from the history from the children of Israel. I think that they learned to serve God as long as they experienced Him. So in other words, they were now no longer experiencing Him, so now they were not going to serve Him. They were not experiencing Him, so now they couldn't believe Him. And they were not experiencing Him, so they felt like all was lost. I just got a feeling that when we experience God, He's going to continue. When His mighty works become only a memory to us, we gradually fall back into sin and disbelief. So let me ask you, I'm asking you in a general sense, what mighty works are in your memory? What mighty works do you have in your thought patterns? Sometimes when you sit down with your Bible alone, maybe in your living room or your bedroom or wherever, what mighty works come back to you and you remember them only as a distant memory. And somehow we put the God of those mighty works in that same memory and we place Him in history. And we forget that He's the God that still can be in our present. And He can be with us today, the same God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Please, I pray that you will understand this, that as long as you serve God and experience Him, you have a tendency to say all is well. But when you don't experience Him, what happens? When the battle is on, when the trouble is around you, when everything seems hopeless, lost at sea, what do you do then? We have a tendency no longer to believe the God who we once experienced is the God that's still with us. So every generation in Israel, I think, has had to have a personal encounter with the living God. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I mean that from Abraham, as you go all the way through history, every Israeli generation had to have a personal encounter with God. In other words, this holds true for all the people and all the nations. And here, I hope you hear me, because I am a grandfather of 11. And I love my grandchildren. But I want to tell you, grandpa's stories sometimes will not do the job. Right. My grandchildren have to know God personally. They have to know Him and love Him and desire Him and watch Him. My grandchildren have to know that there is a living God like Grandpa's stories. And I think this is kind of what happened. This is only an opinion that I have. But I think the guy that stood forward and kind of went face to face, toenail to toenail, literally went eyeball to eyeball with Elijah the prophet. You know what I think happened? I think he was a man that believed in the Red Sea experience. He believed in Marah. He believed in the water being turned back to drinking water. He saw the commands that were in the days of the Israeli people. He recognized the River Jordan, how it parted, and they went across on dry land. He saw the power of Gideon. When Gideon, they broke the pitchers, literally, and the lights went on around, and literally tens of thousands of the army was put to flight. This was a man that believed the Old Testament Torah. He believed the things of God. Let me ask you this. How many of you believe the word in New and Old Testament? Amen. But is it possible that we are now in our own personal generation where if we don't experience God, we don't believe in God? Right. These altars, they will see God and experience God when we believe He's the God who said He was. The God who did what He did. In other words, if I believe a Red Sea parted by the blast of His nostrils, I believe that God can do the same thing in our personal life here. And I'm just making this very clear to you this day, that it's clear that in history, that the children of Israel served God when they experienced Him. When they seen Goliath go down and they seen David raise his head from the chopping block of the sword, those men, every one of those men, there was life, there was courage, there was incredible authority. They just like, yes! And by the I don't know how many of Saul's soldiers, and they ran down through and across the meadow and they put to flight the Philistine. But tell me this, how often when the Philistines attacked, how often were they able to do the same thing? When we begin to lose an experience in God and lose our joy in the Lord, and we somehow no longer believe that He is who He said He was, it's so easy to no longer pursue. I believe with all my heart that we are a people today that have to experience our God. He's not the God of the dead, but He's the God of the living. Amen. Are you experiencing Him? Our only hope of breaking out of this cycle is going to be this. I believe we have to become hungry. And if we become hungry for the things of God, we're going to see a change in all around us. God and hungry souls, they go together. In fact, we're going to have to be a people, some I think, that's almost starving in a sense, that we are a people of desperation. We come to a place where we say, God, we need to be consumed. We need a passion for more of God, for You to visit us, that we might believe that You will do these things in our personal life. So this man, let me tell you the conclusion of this story, verse 3. Stepping forward were four lepers, and they entered into the gate, and they said one to another, why do we sit here until we die? And we will enter into the city. If we go to the city, verse 4, there's a famine, we'll die. If we go to the army and they see us coming, we will die. So we might as well take our choice. And the Bible says these four lepers, they decided to go. And as they were getting closer and closer to the enemy forces, they realized something strange. They realized that littering the roads was clothing and garbs and all kinds of various weaponry. And they got closer and closer. Now they realized there was no one around the tents. There was no one they could see. The tents were everywhere and things were strewn all over the countryside. And they realized that the army was gone. And how could that be? Because God intervened, did he not? For many of us, the acts of God become only a memory, and they're in our skepticism or in our far back as we can take it. But we don't bring what God has done from the past to our present. When Elisha announced in one day's time this terrible famine would turn abundant, the king's attendant replied, "I don't believe it." And yet these four lepers, as they went to satisfy their own personal need, they saw the power of God. And God had put this alien army to flight. They somehow probably heard some like marching of soldiers, and they probably heard what the snorting of horses and the clanging of swords, and they realized there's an alien army. There's another army that's been purchased and paid off by the king of Syria, and we're going to have to flee for our lives, and they fled. And when the four lepers got to the camp, they saw the miracle power of God. How many believe that God is still a miracle power and has that glorious power today? Do you? Think about this, please. Just think about this. They went from tent to tent and they hoarded. They put food and they put it in bags, and the nice pieces of clothing, and put it in bags. And they were having an absolute incredible ball. They were just, this was like going literally to the mall. I know what that's like. I go with my wife to the mall. There's like an experience none of us have ever known. And when Donna and I got, she shops till she drops. And usually I drop, she shops. Amen. Who said amen? There must be another guy here that goes through that. She has her favorite places, and it's TJ Maxx and it's Ross's. Now, Ross's is not Ross's to the average. Ross's is to Donna. But to all of us, we know it is Ross. How many know it is Ross? But when I try to change the name and I say, "No, honey, it's Ross's," she tells me, "It doesn't matter. Get there. We're going to go shopping." And we go shopping. My wife loves to shop, and she shops one aisle and that aisle. The biggest thing I have a struggle with is when I park the car and she's already ahead of me and she's inside the building. When I get inside the building and I'm standing behind, the double doors are behind me, I'm now looking. And I cannot see my wife because she's shorter than all of the clothing racks. Sometimes I've been tempted to go and to say to somebody up at the counter, I say, "Please, would you make an announcement for me that the blonde that just came in here that's really pretty, and she came in 3 minutes ago, would you please step in the aisle? Your husband is lost." I don't know what you think about that, but that's what happens to me. Happened to you, Cameron?
All the time.
Christina, would you like to stand so we can see what he's talking about? And the lepers, as they're filling their bags and they're so thrilled by what has happened, it was God that sent that army to flight. It was God who was preparing for this day to come. And literally, I'm telling you, it is God that's already ahead of you. He is already in front of you. He is going before you. And how faithful is our God? He is a faithful God. And as these four lepers now, all of a sudden they came, I don't know, kind of light goes on at the same time, I think. And all of a sudden they realize, we do not do well if we stay here. And what do? They take their bags and they go back to the city of Samaria. And they look outside of the gate and they say, "Open to us. The enemy has been defeated." open to us. We'd like to show you, for even you can go, and God will supply the need of our city. And the Bible says they open the gates, and these four lepers go inside the city, and they see the abundant supply of what God has supplied for them. When I leave here this morning with you, I want to suggest that He is the God of abundant supply. He's the God who's a healing God. He's a God this morning that is a courageous God over your attack and will stand with you when you think there's no hope. He's the God that in the fear that you hold inside, He's the God that will bring peace and joy and tranquility. I love this picture as He stands in the bow of the ship and He has been awakened. And as He is awakened in the bow of the ship, He now looks down at His fledgling church. He looks at the disciples and He doesn't tell them, I want you to watch my power. He doesn't tell them that at all. He doesn't say to them, you know what? These are the kind of things I do all the time. He doesn't tell them that. He looks at His church. He looks at Peter, James, John, the disciples that are in the ship, and they're scared to death. They think the waves are going to sink them. And this is what He says. He says, where is your faith? Right. May your faith now, may it be unto you with glorious power. Where is your faith? Right. And I just want to say this morning, where's our faith? Right. Where's our faith? This is the camp that most of us live in, and I live there too. I live with this guy who said to the event to Elisha, shut it up, buddy. If God would open the windows, do you think for 1 minute that could happen? No. We have been starving in this inside of Samaria, and we're all going to die here. And Elisha, I know Elisha wanted to throttle him and grab him by the neck. But Elisha just stopped, and he said, I just want to tell you, sir, tomorrow about this time, the windows of heaven are going to open. Yep. God's windows don't get stuck. They're going to open. Right. And He says, you are going to see it, but you're not going to experience it. Wow. And I say, Lord, I want to see and I want to experience. Oh God, I need to see and experience what you're doing in my life. Don't let me in any way just have kind of eyesight and never believe. I say, Lord, turn it on. Amen? Amen. So I'd like to close this way this morning. And how many know when I get ready to close, we're serious about this stuff? Hey. I don't think that was part of my sermon. Nobody's to answer that. I'm to answer that. So I just have to do it this way, and I want to tell you this again. I really think that sometimes there are pockets of blessing and showers that God is ready to proceed forward in biblical truths. I believe He wants to awaken us today to believe absolutely that He loves us and He's working in our lives. And He's the one who has forgiven our sin, and He's washed our sin with His precious blood because of Calvary's cross. And He's washed our sins away. How many believe that? And how many believe with an open window by faith that the God that has already forgiven you is the God that can keep you? He's the God that can walk with you. He's a God that will never forsake you. Do you believe that? Yes. How many of you really believe that even though that you have, for so long, you've believed all of the stories of Moses and all of the stories of David and all the stories of Gideon and all the stories of the New Testament apostles, but you can't believe it for yourself? I just want to tell you something. The Lord is saying, hey, tomorrow at this time, I'm going to show you who I am. Amen. Now, I realize it may not be at noon for you, but God's just trying to tell you, trust me. When you leave this building today, trust me that your fears and your doubts, your unbelief, your heart's desire for more, trust me that I will meet these needs. And I am the God that's faithful. Amen? Amen. Close your Bibles, please. Amen. So I repeat this again to you. He is not the God of the dead alone, but he's also the God of the living. And if you are experiencing anything today, this is what you need to experience, is him. Experience him. And wherever you were, whether it was last Sunday or 5 weeks ago or a year ago or 2 years ago, I want to suggest to you that he is still the same today. And if you came in experiencing famine and there was no hope and you know all is lost at sea, I'm telling you, he is the one that is going to open up the windows that no one is going to stop the supply because he's faithful. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you. I honor you this morning. Lord, because of the famines that we experience in our life, all the sometimes the pain and the disbelief and the things that don't work out and things we want to be different, because of these things, Lord, these famine, they seem to rob us of such an abundant supply and rob us of the floodgates of heaven opening to us and watching the God of power in our life. Lord, this morning I ask you to heal your people that it's not just a story anymore, that you're the God of the impossible. I pray that you would heal us, that it's not just a story anymore, that some are touched and others are not. May we believe that whomsoever will come to you may be saved, delivered, and have a glorious power flowing in our life. May we also believe it's not a story, that you are a God of miracle provision. And Lord, that you can take and touch us like we've never known. I give you thanks this morning, Lord. I pray that we will no longer be a people that experience you in our thoughts alone, but we will begin to experience you in our generation every day, every week, personally, with a personal encounter with the living God. I love you, Lord. I pray that our stories that we try to tell will not be our inspiration alone. I pray that, Lord, we will begin to see a new generation rising up, experiencing the glorious power of God every day. These are things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.